All right, we're back with Hot Start. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we're joined by Barnaby Wayne fan, perennial engineering dude type person.
perennial guest here, too. We love to have this guy.
Well, this is the second
in.
Year we got him back, but he's so much fun.
Yeah, but you're stuck with me.
That works for me.
We're welcome you with open arms anytime.
Great. Well, it's great to be here. It's neat to be back at Oshkosh.
And you just arrived yesterday?
Yeah, just came in, you know, got on the field yesterday morning, so just kind of doing the first reconnaissance, seeing what's out there. And
did you get a look at White Knight, too?
Oh, yeah.
First impression?
There's two of them.
Together.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a neat thing to see because, I mean, if you take a look at the whole new space thing, and I've been doing a lot in that in other capacity, you know, we're on the brink of a whole new thing. And, I mean, in a lot of respects, you look at space, it's like aviation was in the 30s. You got a lot of people now jumping in, a lot of different approaches. I mean, White Knight 2 is obviously a piece of what might be considered the leader in the race at the moment. And it's really nice to see the private sector taking off where the government maybe is stumbling a little.
Quite literally.
Hey, you know, I mean, it's EAA, you know, squared almost if you look at it. I mean, that, you know, you look at that. You can go back to first Very Easy and, you know, even before that to Ken Rand, you know, with the first composite home built. And you look at that and, wow, you know, EAA to space. How cool is that?
That's very cool. You know, one of the impressions we were looking at, besides the first impression, was just, wow, that thing's really big. He's got to have some checks and balances on those control surfaces to make sure nobody gets out of sync.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And actually, what's really interesting technically about that airplane is it's an all-manual flight control system. So
there's
no boosted controls on that airplane. Wow. So, you know, there's a kind of ancient arts being revived. You know, there's an awful lot learned about how to make manual flight control systems work up through, say, World War II. Because if you look even up to the B-29, they were all manual. And Bert and the guys are basically doing that again on a big airplane. So it's interesting when you walk around it, you can see all the little tweaks and fixes that they put on it, you know, in flight test.
Okay, I'm definitely going to have you show me some of these tweaks and fixes.
Yeah, now he's got my curiosity going, too.
Well, so we wanted to talk about airplane efficiency, and that is certainly an airplane that's got to be one of the prime design goals.
What, on White Knight? Not really, actually. White Knight is really a lifter, not a cruiser. I mean, if you look at it, White Knight's job is to get Spaceship 2 to 50,000 plus feet.
Right.
Right. So what you need is an airplane that, you know, can make a lot of lift. It's got a lot of thrust.
Well, and you got to have an efficient wing, though, to operate altitudes.
Yeah, there's a difference between efficiency and effectiveness, though.
Okay.
I mean, you know, there's a difference between, you know, to an engineer, efficiency means doing a lot with a little.
Right.
You know, going a long way on a small amount of gas or carrying a lot of load with a little bit of structure or something like that. And that's not really what the White Knight 2 is about. What the White Knight 2 is about is carrying a load to altitude. Now, you have to be structurally efficient to do that, to get the weight down. So it's certainly an effective machine. It's certainly going to do its job very well. But it doesn't quite fall into, you know, aircraft efficiency in the sense of long-range crews like, say, Virgin Global Challenger was or Voyager or a sailplane or something like that. You know, one of the things you learn when you get into the design business and certainly when you teach design is, you know, an airplane's a tool to do a mission. You know, sometimes for that you have something very delicate, and sometimes it's a sledgehammer.
A sledgehammer.
You use the appropriate tool, and basically, I mean, and White Knight's a multi-mission airplane in a sense because they're going to be using it as a crew trainer and all that, so it's designed to a higher limit load than it would be for just the lift mission, so that makes it heavier, but, you know, that means it can do more.
Interestingly enough, I didn't realize this when I first saw it, but we found out last night. The left boom, if you want to call that, the left fuselage, the windows are just painted on.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if you go back in history, Bert has a history of doing that. If you remember when the Boomerang came to Oshkosh,
mm-hmm.
if you looked very carefully, the rearmost window on that airplane was painted on. And if you looked very carefully, it had a faint image of a Roswell gray alien looking out the window.
Oh, my goodness. I did not know that.
Bert Rutan, the humorist.
I guess sense of symmetry demands that there must be windows, even if they're just painted on.
Actually, you know, I know some of the scale guys, and apparently that, you know, originally when they built the fuselage, it was just blank, and they got their customer said, that just looks too weird. Why don't we put some windows on it?
Well, you know, the one thing you talk about structure of that airplane, in some respects, it's reminiscent kind of with the twin booms and everything of the P-38 Lightning, but with one major difference, the horizontal stabilizer. This airplane,
well,
there's two of them, and they're not connected.
It's not the first airplane to do that, though.
No,
If you go back in history, there's a really interesting ag plane called the Transavia Air Truck.
Yes.
Which actually, it shows up in one of the Mad Max movies.
Right.
And it was a twin boom, twin tail. There was one here about 10 years ago. There's one in America, and it was actually here at Oshkosh. And the reason for it on the truck was that you could drive the truck, the hopper, into the back of the airplane and load the airplane up without turning the engine off.
Oh, geez. Well, that works.
You know, quick load.
And I actually had the pleasure of meeting the designer of the air truck, who was this interesting Italian New Zealander named Luigi Pellerini. Really interesting fellow. In any case, in a sense, on White Knight, it's similar. And, you know, you've got this big payload between the booms.
Well, you know,
right, and that's going to throw disturbed air aft, so you don't want a tailplane sitting right behind whatever you're carrying.
I never thought of that.
Because it's going to be in the wake of whatever you're carrying. And then also, you don't want something in the way of the trajectory of where that airplane's going to separate. So it makes sense.
Are they relying on the wing area of the Spaceship Two to help contribute lift?
No, not at all.
It's along for the ride.
Yeah, it's an educated bomb, you know, in a sense.
That's not
the way the passengers on Spaceship Two are thinking about it, but to the designer, you know, from the White Knight Two viewpoint, it's a payload.
Gotcha.
Well, yeah. You know, and speaking of payload, the center section of that wing, from boom to boom, it's got the little bend in it. Not dihedral, it's anhedral in it. That thing's got to be built like a bridge girder.
Well, I mean, it's carrying a lot of load there, so I'm sure it is. I mean, that's one of those things you'd have to talk to the scale guys about. I mean, I've only seen the outside of the airplane, not the inside.
I'd love to take a look at the structure of that center section. That's got to be massive.
I did hear someone claiming that the spar on that thing is the largest single piece of composite ever built. I don't know whether it's true. You know, you use what's appropriate and what you can
and
build.
And what you're familiar with.
You know.
Well, let's get back to a more real-world efficiency. I've got my Cessna 150.
Yes?
And I want to go Mach 0.7. Well, even forget that. What are some of the simple things the average pilot could do or have done to his aircraft to improve cruise speed versus fuel consumption?
You know, and of course, on a certified airplane, there's always the issue of certification. But putting that aside, you know, the first principle is don't annoy any air you don't have to. So, you know, if you basically look at a typical airplane, there's lots of little things sticking out in the breeze. And you can do a lot of smoothing of those. Just put little airfoil fairings around them, tape gaps, don't let air blow through gaps. I actually did this with a friend with a twin Comanche, and it was very interesting because we did a one-day walk around, and we taped some gaps, and we literally, you know, you had little lock barrels sticking out, so we took the bowls of plastic spoons and stuck them over the lock barrels as fairings and things like that, and we picked up 12 knots in one day on a twin Comanche.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
You know, so an awful lot of it is just get the airplane in good rig, make sure all the seals are good. You know, any air that leaks is energy that you're wasting. That's the best way to look at it. You know, and any air that comes on board and then drools out of the airplane through windows or doors and stuff like that, you've eaten the energy to take that air aboard, and then you're wasting it. Cooling is a huge thing. You know, if you take a look at a well-designed airplane, cooling drag is maybe 15 to 20% of the total drag.
That's a lot.
Then you can get into the really techie details like
that. Well, they've argued about wingtip design forever.
And that'll never end. Everybody thinks they've got a better idea, and every now and then someone does.
So, and obviously a lot of these modifications are not expensive.
No. Well, I mean, like I said, with the Twin Comanche, it was tape and plastic spoons.
Tape and plastic spoons, yeah.
And that was good for 12 knots. Now, the owner of that airplane has since gone on to get about another 15 out of it, so he's got an airplane now that'll fly 25 knots faster than book at book power settings.
And with the same engine, same
propeller. Same engine, same propellers. I mean, his airplane is obsessively clean. His airplane dirty looks better than mine after I wash it, you know. But he's done all of that sort of thing, just all the detail stuff, fared the antennas, sealed every gap that doesn't need to be, you know, the doors are rigged right so there's no ridges there, you know. And, you know, so a lot of it's details. The analogy I give people for drag reduction is it's like scraping barnacles off a boat.
Well, there you go. There's some interesting ideas for the average pilot.
I don't know if I'm going to go over somebody's airplane with plastic spoons and tape, though. I think the FAA would have
on a certified airplane, you've got issues. On a home-built, of course,
you're
on your own. But you can do a lot. I crewed for Dave Ronenberg when he flew the Berkut in the sport class at Reno in, I think it was, 99. And, you know, we got there, flew our first heat race, and then overnight spent the night taping up all the gaps in the airplane. Dave wouldn't let us tape the canopy after he was inside the airplane.
Can you imagine that?
And he wouldn't let us tape over the cockpit air intake either. But, you know, aside from that, we had the airplane pretty well sealed up. And just from taping the gaps, we picked up 6 miles an hour in race speed.
That's nice.
That's very good.
So, that's free horsepower, free speed.
I'm sure a lot of people laughed. Ha ha, look at all the tape on that airplane.
Well, what was really funny is as we were taping it, one of our competitors, one of the glass air drivers, came by and he said, "You don't need to do that. It's fast enough already." And we just laughed at him and just kept taping.
And then waved at him as you went by.
Oh, yeah, and we beat him on Saturday morning, too.
There
you go.
Well, Barnaby, I want to thank you for stopping over. We could talk for hours, but we can't.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure, guys.
All right. You're listening to Hot Start. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.